lesson this Ash Wednesday is Joel, the second chapter. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Resend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the ages, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? The second lesson is 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. We entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you and also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacles in anyone's way, for that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have committed ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown, and yet we well known, as dying, and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything.
Whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, as we begin our Lenten journey, we pray that this day of Ash Wednesday, where we mark ourselves as ones who are mourning, ones who are asking for forgiveness, that would be ones who no longer live in mourning and ones who receive your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, good evening. Welcome to our Lenten service. I'm very proud of myself that I got that far and didn't say good morning, because it is usually my habit. Those of you who were here at worship this past Sunday may remember that Vicar Maria had something kind of interesting with our children's message. She brought a piece of artwork and talked about, during this season of Lent, we bury the Alleluia, or we hide our Alleluia. And as a very talented woman, she created this piece of art. I mean, it's gorgeous. And Alleluia, and, you know, not just the English, but the Greek and the Hebrew, too. And she has gold and depth and all sorts of prettiness. So this is certainly one of Maria's gifts. I'm a woman of many gifts. This is not one of mine. This will never be one of mine. I am not an artist. I have many gifts. This is not one of them. Some of you may know that when I started college, I actually started not in theology, but as a civil engineering student. Couple years in that program, and I was studying structural engineering. And when people would ask me what that means, what do you want to do? I'd say, well, I want to build buildings and bridges and structures. They say, well, isn't that an architect? And I recall the words that a professor used to me, and I would re-say them quite often. I would say those words that architects design beautiful buildings. Structural engineers make them stand. And I kind of was thinking about that in terms of where we're at here today. Because though Vicar Maria was able to create this beautiful piece of artwork, you know, representing our resurrection, I created this piece of artwork representing Ash Wednesday. This is my caliber of art. But this is also the kind of day we have today. This is the caliber of day that we have today. My aunt Ruth Ellen is visiting us, and her husband, my uncle Mark, had a very interesting job when he worked. He was essentially the person, I remember asking him one day, he worked with computers in an engineering field, in the architectural field. And I remember driving by one building, and he said, oh, I worked on that building. And I said, what exactly do you do? I know it's kind of designy and kind of computery. And he said, well, you know how architects design, you know, buildings, and they have their plans, and then the structural engineers, the civil engineers, they have all the layouts and the blueprints. He said, I work on the software that allows the architects to talk to the engineers. And I was thinking about that, and I realized that's sort of where we are right now. I mean, how does Ash Wednesday, this day that we mark our foreheads with ash, and remember those words, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return, and put this sign of ashes, this sign of mourning and repentance on our foreheads, how does that connect to the Alleluias of Easter? The answer is Lent. The connection between the ashes and the Alleluia is the season of Lent. Like the software creator that allows the architect to make meaning for the engineer, Lent is the time that brings us from the ashes to the Alleluia. A building doesn't just poof, come out of nowhere once it's thought of and designed and created. You need new plans and graphics and computer sketches, foundations and studs and flooring and wiring and insulation and drywall and painting. And then the grand reveal. But like most important things that we have in our lives, you need to work for it. You need a foundation. You need the starting point to make the end mean something. In our new ministry study buddies, I overheard this story of one of our tutors told me where there was a young girl who had been struggling with her reading. She was a few grade levels behind in her reading and spelling and words and having a great struggle with it. And after about a month or maybe 6 weeks of coming to regular tutoring on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the little girl came in and I was in my office and her mom poked her head in. She goes, she got 100 on her spelling test. And then she went back and told all the tutors and they were so excited. And then one of the tutors was sitting with this little girl and saying to her, you know, you did this. This wasn't my work. This wasn't our work. You did this. You put in the hard work. You earned that 100%. And I think of how sweet the victory was for that little girl. If she was, you know, a top-notch speller, 100% would have been nothing, but she had worked and struggled and built the foundations of I before E, except after C, however the rest of that goes. But still, she had worked on that and had built the foundation. So the end was so incredibly sweet. Today, this Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of the season of Lent that we are journeying through. And we don't walk through this darkened season because we like to beat up on ourselves, but because by journeying from darkness into light, we lay the groundwork for the whole reason behind Easter. Because we don't need to rush ahead. We don't need to rush ahead and all of a sudden get to the Alleluias and the flowers and the celebration. I know I've shared this story once before, but it's so fitting for today. I have a classmate from Luther Seminary who himself was not Lutheran, was of another denomination, but he was studying with us at this Lutheran Seminary, and then he was in his first call working with another pastor, and it came to Ash Wednesday, and him having just spent 3 years studying with the Lutherans thought, oh, okay, you know, minor key, somber, ashes on the forehead, and was very surprised when the senior pastor of the congregation he was working at said, oh, we're going to do something special today. We're going to put glitter crosses on everyone. And he said, that's not how you do Ash Wednesday. But his pastor's thinking, he said, it's just people have so much weighing on them. We don't want to remind them of the sadness. We need to be there to remind them of the glory of Jesus' resurrection. And my friend thought, yeah, at Easter. But you got to get there first. And how sweet will that Alleluia be when it's been gone for a while? Our gospel lesson today talks about the disciplines of Lent, the practices of Lent. It talks about fasting and about praying and about giving. Jesus says this is not to prove your piety, not to prove how special you are, not to prove how righteous and godly and what a good churchgoer you are. He says, beware of practicing piety before others in order to be seen by them. But we do these things because through the discipline of Lent, we build up our foundation of dependence on God. Through the disciplines of Lent, we build up the foundation of our dependence on God. Discipline and dependence, those aren't two words that Americans hate. discipline and dependence. But the disciplines of Lent are not the disciplines as in being condemned or ridiculed or punished. The disciplines of Lent are making a commitment to practice, to fasting, to refraining from something, from food or drink or that bad habit or that negativity or gossip or your television or social media or being mad at your neighbors or whatever it is that is getting in the way of you connecting with God. It's saying, I will break from that. I will refrain from that. A commitment to prayer, to coming into closer relationship with God, open communication with God. Not about perfecting the way that you can stand before a congregation and say the eloquent words, but how you speak openly with your Father. And the practice of giving. The practice of giving of ourselves, of our time and talent and treasures. When we bless others by our giving, we bless our Creator's creation and grow into our generosity and relying on God for all that we have instead of being fearful of scarcity. We need to disassociate discipline from punishment, because the discipline of Lent, they're not punishments. They're not punishments for us being people who fall short of the glory of God. But practicing the disciplines of Lent serve to remind us that though we are not perfect, we have a perfect God. Why else do you need a redeemer unless you need to be redeemed? Why else do you have a savior unless you have something you need to be saved from? Today, we start with ashes on our foreheads because we are dust, and we will return to dust, and along the way, we will mar ourselves with dirt and the ashes of sin. But these crosses are not brands upon our skin that mark us as Christ's followers, but these marks, these ashes, are the beginning, the start, the foundation upon which we begin our journey, step by step, moving through the journey of Lent, step by step, moving from failure to freedom, from sin to salvation, from ashes to alleluia. Amen.